time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes. Yes, the podcast. We here. In the Conversation, we here. Whole nother week in your ear. Feeling good, man. Feeling good. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, man. Feeling motivated and encouraged. Feeling good, man.
Oh, shit. Motivated and encouraged. Okay, well, shit. There it is.
Yeah, uh-huh. You know.
That's what's up.
I feel like I'm coming to the other side of the fight. You know what I'm saying? To the light side.
The later rounds.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you got some points on the cards.
Got some points on the card and the stride.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Could be looking like a knockout coming. Well, that's good to hear.
You know, maybe a TKO, maybe a, what I'm saying, by decision, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Either way.
Unanimous?
Yeah, you know, a unanimous win today, you know what I'm saying? You got to take your battles, you know what I'm saying? You got to take your war battle by battles. So
I hear that shit. I'm with
winning the day feel like winning, you know?
There you go, yeah.
We got, Black Girl Stuff dropping tonight. So
Congratulations. Yeah. Tonight when this drops or tonight last night?
Well, you mean either way.
Okay. Both days, huh?
Yeah, now it drops on TV, here. You know what I'm saying, the night before tonight. And then when this airs, it drops on the app and on the site. So you can go check it out there, you know.
How you feeling? You excited?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, you know what I'm saying? it's a great first look for us. No, hopefully first of many more. The team has worked really hard, and the host, they put their foot in it, you know. So
dope. Congratulations. So now that's two shows over there now. You kind of at the helm of or something, or you know, oversee a little bit between Black Girls. What is it, Black Girl Stuff and Black News, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's what's up.
You know,
man.
Over here just being black, man.
There you go. How about that? That's very good. Oh, yeah. Shit.
Ever since then, I've been black as ever.
There you go. There it is. That's good to hear. Good black shit. Oh, shit. I'm feeling good myself, man. I had a productive day so far. You know, just a lot of personal admin shit, but getting it done. You know what I mean? Like, really focused. So it felt good. You know? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm good money, man. I can't even complain right now. I'm chilling.
That's what's up.
Yeah,
chilling.
Yeah.
I got a call this morning from a number that I didn't have locked. Was not a strange person, but the number wasn't locked. So I had been shooting Angelique Miles some years back, you know. Mm-hmm. She was running the marathon about to turn 50. So she was
the New York City marathon?
No, that was like a 10K or 5. It was something like that. It wasn't
okay.
Like a full
one of the K's.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was out, you know, I think it ended in Coney Island. So we started in Brooklyn and ended in Brooklyn by the museum and ended in Coney Island.
Okay. Shit, it's still a little distance.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a half. I'm not sure what it was, but it wasn't a full. It was a New York City marathon. Okay. So, you know, during that process, you know what I'm saying, it was a different stage in the game. And, you know, I told my story. You know, I like to, you know, in dropping my little jewels, I have certain stories that kind of stick and speak to certain things. So I have this grow towards the light story that, you know, I've told that on this pod a couple times, probably. You know how you just be repeating shit, but that's the grow towards the light is a staple. And you know, you say shit like that, you keep it moving, you know what I'm saying? And then so she called this morning and was like, yo, you know what I'm saying, when you were shooting the joint, you know, you had told me this thing about grow towards the light. And, you know, to, you know, and I've been thinking about that. I implement it every time I be in a certain kind of space. I implement that particular thought process. I was like, damn, you know, because you don't never really, sometimes you say shit, you know what I'm saying, you don't never hear it back to you. You don't know what happened to it after you put it in the world.
Right.
And you can't.
What does it mean exactly, though? Like, what's it, I mean, outside of, I mean, outside of what it sounds like, is it any deeper than that, or is it just that simple?
Yeah, it's, well, to me, it's deep, because now I'm going to tell this story again, so if y'all heard it before, all good. You know what I'm saying? Again, it's a staple. So when I bought my house, there was a tree that had fell down in the backyard, and you know, it was winter, so I was like, you know what, when it warm up, I'm gonna get out there, I'm gonna cut that tree up and take it out of my backyard, right? So again, it's winter, so I think it's dead. It's just laying across the backyard, big ass tree. And so I went out there to go cut it up in the spring. And I'm out there with my little saw and machete, and you know what I'm saying? I'm out there hacking and all this shit. And I got the top part good. Then when I got to the second side of it, the side that was laying on the ground, I realized that I had all the way fucked up, because when you look at the tree, all the branches that was on the top side had started growing straight up in the air. And I didn't pay no attention when I first started cutting on them. I was just like, damn, that's weird. These shit's straight up in the air. But then on the bottom side of that tree, all the branches that was on the bottom side turned into roots. And that shit was living like a motherfucker. That shit was growing a whole new forest. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit had refused to die. The whole base of the tree is out of the ground. But the branches turned into roots, and then the top of the tree started growing towards the light. It's like, as long as there was light, that tree wasn't going to die. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And actually, it was about to multiply. So I was like, damn, this is crazy. This shit took all week to get that tree out of the ground. But
you about to kill it.
Yeah. But the lesson, you know what I'm saying, grow towards the light, stuck, because no matter how down you get, how much you fall, you know what I'm saying, if you could find the light, you know what I'm saying, that's what's going to feed you. So that's what the light is. So anything that's feeding you and that's like, you know, helping you grow, you want to grow towards that. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times you want to pick and choose which direction you want to go in. I don't really want to do it like that. But that's right there. Right now, in the position that you're in, laying across this backyard, this your best position to grow. And actually, it might be better for you than it was when you were standing strong. So you might want to take the opportunity to grow while you got it. And that's what that whole thing is. It's like, so when you're in a position, you feel like there's no way, you got to find where the motivation is coming from, where the light is coming from, where the love is coming from, what's feeding you, what's giving you energy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's helping you grow. All of those things count. And so, boom. So she was like, yeah, when I get in these positions, I think about that shit all the time. I was like, damn, that's crazy. You don't never really get to hear your little philosophies come back. So it was just good to receive it. You know what I'm saying? Like some shit that you put out. And then, and at the time, at the very moment, I needed to hear the shit. You know what I'm saying? I needed to remind myself of the shit. So it was like the universe working on background, help making sure that what you're putting out, you're getting back.
Yeah, man. Now, that's dope. That, you know, that's always beautiful when the universe throw you an alley-oop. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's only one of the ones that they could throw, you know? Because the shit be so unorthodox, but it's right by the rim, you know? So just boom, score. Get that shit off. That's deep, though. Grow towards the light, man. I like that. I like that. That words of wisdom, that mantra.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, with that, I started my day, and went out to the world. You know what I'm saying? Got a little bad news here. You know what I'm saying? Had a couple of problems resolved there. You know what I'm saying? Closed out some deals. You know what I'm saying? So overall today, you know, when you look at the card, I'm on top.
There you go.
I'm on top.
That's it. Got to play that hand. Yeah. Do you believe in affirmations?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you, like, well, obviously there's, sure, believing in affirmations is one thing. Do you, you do affirmations? Do you, you know?
Not as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I you know what I'm saying, you know, you write them down and, you know, mm-hmm, read them and, you know what I'm saying? That's when every, mm-hmm, in the 90s, every girl house you went to, in the bathroom, they had that Acts of Faith that Ayanla,
yeah.
Everybody had, yeah, all, everybody was on that. So if you was trying, uh-huh, to, you know what I'm saying, get into somebody's head, boy, you needed to,
right,
know where they was coming from. And so you had to get into that Acts of Faith. Mm-hmm. But I think over time, you start to develop your own, in your own certain kind of way. Like,
mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying? You start hearing your own whispers in your head and being able to trust your own voice. And you don't, right, necessarily have to use the ones that's out there unless, you know what I'm saying, something just strikes you. So I don't go looking, mm-hmm, for them. I let them find, mm-hmm, me. Like,
mm-hmm,
when I was younger, I would go looking for them. Like, you out trying to find the inspiration. Like, look at that. Reading everything, trying to get,
right,
the words to fit where you are in your life, you know what I'm saying? And because when you're going through it for the first time, you don't really know where you at in your life. You just know you out here, don't feel right. Like, you know what I'm saying? You kind of know some things, you feel like certain things working, but it's not all coming together. So you start looking for information to fill in the gaps and fill in the holes. But over time, I started to understand how my own voice worked and God's voice within me. I understand how that works. So, you know, it's either coming from the whispers in my own brain or my own soul, or it's finding me from the rest of the world. You know what I'm saying? The words will find you. You know what I'm saying? The things that you need for your journey will find you along your journey. You know what I'm saying? It's like when Pac told a reporter one time, he's like, you know, I'm a businessman. You know what I'm saying? Know how I know? Because whenever you find me, I'm at my place of business. So, in that same vein, you know, when you're on your journey, the things that you need are going to find you on your journey because you're on your path. You're walking your path. You're not going to find shit for your journey off on somebody else's road, you know? When you're in your shit going to come to you. Well, your challenges, your tests, all that shit gonna come to you, and then once you got your answers, it's tailor made for you. Your life is bespoke to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's real shit. Mm-hmm. And tailor make that life to yourself. I was thinking about that. I had this thought a while ago where I was like, "Well, one, just as far as affirmations go, I believe in them. I don't always exercise them, but I've been, you know, it comes and goes. It's similar like meditation. Like, I might pick it up, but I put it down. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see benefits, particularly from meditation, more so than affirmation. Affirmation, I think, too, but maybe it's not as apparent. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I was having a conversation with somebody about just affirmation and, like, you know, like looking in the mirror, and you know what I'm saying? Like, really, you got to sell yourself on some shit. You know, obviously, you got to believe everything before anybody else believes it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the other point that I was going to say, damn, what was I double back. It'll come back to me. But, yeah, that shit, it'll come back to me. I totally lost my train of thought in that moment. But fuck it. It is what it is. it'll come back, I'm sure. I'm sure that should have spun the block. On another note, just on some other shit, you see the FBI done ran up on Trump. You see this shit?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Look, man. I don't think nothing going to happen to that man, Trump. You know
at
what
all.
I'm saying? I really don't. You know, I think the whole shit is kind of performative. But I'm not going to lie. This part of the performance I'm enjoying. You know what I'm saying? Just this is shit that you never think could happen. So now it's happening. You're like, oh shit, this shit kind of interesting. This is a good part of the movie, you know. Mm-hmm. But I doubt anything big's gonna happen. So I definitely doubt he going to jail. I think they trying to really have him look crazy. So if he tries to run again, you know, he'll look way less credible. But I believe his fans are so diehard, they don't give a fuck anyway. So, I mean, I don't know what the effectiveness in it, the whole shit is, but it was just kind of cool to see that come across the timeline. Like, oh, shit, wait a minute. FBI raid Mar-a-Lago, work. That shit's hilarious to me. Anyway.
That's when you get them old black laughs. Ah!
Yeah, right? Exactly. Exactly. Oh, shit. Hell yeah. But, yeah. So that was some shit that made me laugh. What else is going on, man? I started watching Industry. I think I told you about this before. There's a show on HBO Max called Industry, right? Mm-hmm. It's about these finance traders. Like, they're like interim finance traders. They fresh out of college. They trying to get a job at a firm. This firm takes place in England, in the UK. It's called Pierpoint. And they trying to get on. And, you know, the shit is real cutthroat, and super toxic workplace environment. You know what I mean? Like, you know, working way too many hours, you know, afraid to take any time away from the desk because it could be to your detriment. You know what I mean? You miss a call, you miss a deal, you just missed an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? A lot of incestuous relationships going on. Definitely a lot of drug use, a lot of drinking. You know what I mean? A lot of abuse from your senior managers and shit like that. And you know what I mean? A lot of the carrot in front of you being pulled all over the place. Like, it's really playing to, like, desperation and greed, right? Mm-hmm. And it centers around this one character, Harper. I forget Harper's last name. This black girl, she from New York. I don't know if she's from New York, but she went to Binghamton University. And in the first season, she was kind of keeping that on the low because it wasn't like an Ivy League and, you know, all of this status shit. She trying to, you know, navigate in a way where she got to be real savvy about her moves and calculated and everything like that. Long story short, it's the second season. It's back. And I'm watching this shit. And I forgot how activated I get when I watch this shit. Like, this is a good-ass show. Like, I get activated like it's a Red Bull-type situation. Like, I'm hype. Like, yeah, man. It's a good fucking show. It's only one episode so far, the second season. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of that shit. So, yeah.
And what network is it on?
It's on HBO Max. Okay. It's on HBO Max, which I've been hearing. I haven't really gotten all of the information, but it looks like, you know, there's some shit. I guess Discovery Plus may have bought HBO Max, mm-hmm. and there's talks that they might be getting rid of a lot of the scripted programming that's on HBO Max. Like, the whole shit gets a little fuzzy. I was telling a friend of mine trying to break this shit down. You know, there's HBO proper, then there's HBO Max. So mm-hmm. shows like Industry is an HBO Max show, where something mm-hmm. like Insecure is a HBO show, but it's available on HBO Max. You know right. what I'm saying? So it's weird shit like that. And for whatever reason, Discovery Plus, the people over there, they kind of put more money into the non-scripted shit. So the scripted stuff, you might start getting cut. And the thing is, on the streamer side of things, you know, compared to like Netflix and Hulu, HBO obviously don't maybe have the same vast library, even though they did that deal with Warner Brothers where they got a bunch of shit. I like what they got going on at HBO Max probably more. I watch more HBO Max than damn near every other streaming network. But now that shit could be, you know, in limbo at the moment. But yeah, long story short, HBO Max, Industry. I forget what days they put them up. But yeah, this shit is worth checking out. First season is all the way up. So if you ever wanted to check that shit out, you got the first season to binge. But the shit is good. Shit is a good ass show. So yeah, I was watching that. Still fucking with Flatbush Misdemeanors. That shit's been good this season. City on a Hill is back. That's the Kevin Bacon, Aldis Hodge joint on Showtime. That's back. And might be one other thing. Oh, yeah, and then P-Valley. You know what I'm saying? So
you been watching P-Valley?
Yeah, man. I've been watching P-Valley, man. And it's good? yes, it's good. It's intense, dog. It goes there, brother. It's some shit going on.
See, I ain't got no problems with it going. Yeah, Where is it going, though?
I just feel like I gotta let people know. Let people know what you're in for. But yeah, the shit's P-Valley, man. P-Valley's doing P-Valley, man. You know, they got their own little atmosphere, their own universe, and their own little storytelling mechanisms and their own level of believability, and you know what I'm saying? But you get pulled there. There's so many different characters. You get pulled into the shit. I tell you one thing that I peeped on this last episode that I had been peeping, but it was just really apparent these last two episodes. You know, Wanda, Gail Bean from Wanda from Snowfall,
right,
is on P-Valley, right? So she's one of the strippers. She plays a stripper named Roulette.
New to the show.
Yeah, new to the show, new to this season. Yeah, okay. So she's a stripper on this show, and she gangster as fuck, and she holding that shit. Like, it's kind of wild to see Wanda get it off like this. And I'm like, okay, it's a cool little departure from old crackhead, reformed crackhead, now docile Wanda. You know what I'm saying? Like, she get to kind of get her shit off a little bit. She a little bit more free with this one. But yeah, man, it's been interesting. It's an interesting.
What happened to the little Creole stripper that arrived off the bus?
The one, oh, Haley Autumn?
Yeah.
She's still there? Did you watch the whole first season?
Yeah, I watched it.
Okay, so you know she bought the pink. She bought that shit at the end, right?
Right.
So she bought it, and then, like, they, you know, there's plans to build a casino and, I guess, destroy the pink and put the casino down, but as she owned the pink, she trying to get some bread for it. You know what I mean? Like, she's leveraging it. She knows the value of the property, and she knows that the developers are willing to pay, you know, hopefully upwards to $10 million. That's her number. She's like, I need $10 million for this shit. And so far, she's been offered $5 million, but she holds it strong at $10 million, and obviously it feels a way because Uncle Clifford, you know, that's like, he literally grew up in that spot because that was his grandmother's juke joint. You know what I'm saying? So the pink is like a family damn near heirloom, you know what I'm saying, for him. Right. But unfortunately, he ain't had the money to buy it at that moment, so it's out of his hands. He can only do but so much, but he definitely feel a way that this shit might get sold, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's what's going on with her.
Okay. Yeah. Word.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's worth checking out. It's worth checking out. You watching anything, or you been? I know you in the mix making TV.
I've been in the mix. I was looking at my TV the other day, like, bitch, I ain't even turned that motherfucker on in weeks.
Wow. Yeah, that's good shit.
You know what I'm saying? It's just hanging there.
Oh, shit.
It probably watched me more than I watch it. On them smart TVs, this nigga.
Yeah.
Nigga think because he ain't looking at me, I can't see him and shit.
I'm listening right now.
This nigga think
whole
we
situation.
Nigga think we in nope. Nope. I'm the feds.
Definitely. Definitely. That shit is listening. Yo, these algorithms be listening. I've been having way too many coincidental shit come across my timeline, my email, all types of shit based on a conversation, like based on real specific conversation. I'm like, yo, so now I'm trying to really play the algorithm for, you know, play this shit for some money.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, fuck that. I need things. I need to play it in my favor. I don't need to be just led to buy shit. I need some shit to drop off my way. So
right.
We will see. Speaking of the watch and shit, you know, I told you a while back, my watch later on YouTube is at capacity. It's 5,000. Yes, that shit is ridiculous. Can't even go up no more. It goes down, fluctuates from like 5,000, maybe 4,995 every so often. But I'm trying to get rid of the shit because I was just like, this shit is just overwhelming. It's just looming. This is a big, heavy cloud of unwatched content that I'm not really going to pour through that shit. I'm not going to be able to watch 5,000 fucking YouTube videos. You know what I mean? I'm not setting aside that type of shit. So, unfortunately, you know, Google being Google, man, they on some bullshit. They don't even give you the capability of deleting your entire watch later shit. So you just locked in. You just locked in. Like, nigga, pour through it. This is what you wanted.
Right.
What you asked for. So, yeah, man.
Put this on.
There's a waste.
Put this on layaway, nigga. Come get it.
This is word. Yeah, nigga, deal with it. I know, yeah. I know you don't want it no more. I know that shit out of style. But that's yours. That's yours. That's your pile. That's your pile of content. So.
That shit, I saw somebody tweet yesterday. My Amazon wish list is at 1.4 million or some shit.
That's hilarious. That was funny as shit. Oh, shit.
Yeah,
man. That's a whole lot of shit. That's a lot of wishing.
I've looked
at people's wish lists. Yeah, you know how they be having them shits public. You see what these motherfuckers is wishing for. You know, man, it's always interesting.
Yeah, no.
What else is going on with you, man?
Oh, man, shit. I went to InvestFest this weekend.
Yeah, I saw some photos, man. How was it?
Ah, man, that shit is amazing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On one hand, it's like, you know, you see this movement, and it's cracking. I mean, it's the perfect bridge between, you know, that financial literacy and wealth generation building and the streets. You know what I'm saying? It's like a blend. It's like, you know what I'm saying, here's a bridge. If you have this certain kind of aesthetic or this type of lifestyle, you know what I'm saying, we're speaking to you in your language to get to the other side, which is dope. It's like needed. Like, it's nowhere else you're going to see this type shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so... So, I mean, I think it was like 15,000 motherfuckers in there.
Wow. You know what was saying? It at the Georgia World Congress Center?
Yeah. And okay. I think the lowest ticket was 500, something like that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, so you had to invest in the fest.
Yeah, you had to invest in the fest. Okay. And there was no shortage of people. They said they had a VIP ticket that was 10 grand. Woo-wee.
Wow. What the fuck you get for that?
Like, I think you get to sit down like with Steve Harvey or Tyler Perry, whoever the keynotes was. I think they brought that Jay-Z meme to life and made it real.
Right. The Chris Brown meet and greet. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Like, shit. I was like, man, these niggas pulled it off, man. They did it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They found the perfect combination of things, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That was needed and was able to put it together in the time that it was in, within the time frame that it was needed. It was like perfect storm. Like, you know, a lot of people were looking for that kind of information. A lot of people were coming up on different things and was like, how do I turn this into something? You know what I'm saying? It was the era of COVID and the PPP. You know what I'm saying? Where these niggas really came to life, you know what I'm saying? Giving out information where people was thinking about their bread and you know what I'm saying? And applying for bread.
Right.
So this is what you could
time.
Do.
You had time to sit with it, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They came in at the time when it was needed. So,
right.
You know what I'm saying? It's dope when you see it all come together and in a lifestyle way, you know? It wasn't just like a very, you know, educational kind of way. It was very infotainment, you know.
Right.
And then I heard somebody use the term like these are infopreneurs. Like, damn. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn. You know? And on the other hand, right. On the other hand, you feel kind of sick because it's like, damn, this is what 21st Century Hustle could have been. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Get your mind off the block. Yeah. Put it on some stocks. Get you a hustle. Stay on your hustle.
Right.
But nigga, you was 15, you was about 15 years too early.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah,
was yeah, trying yeah, to hear that yeah. shit, nigga. So while you do have that inkling, my major takeaway is that, yo, these niggas did it right. The right way for the right time. You know what I'm saying? With the right aesthetic. And they building it as a lifestyle, you know what I'm saying? Like you actually can see how the life of these, you know what I'm saying, that generation or that culture works. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? You had, shout out to Miss Business. She had, you know what I'm saying, her opening reception at the Four Seasons. It was
Who's
dope.
Miss Business? What's that?
Miss Business is, she's a figure in this infopreneur world, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Major figure mm-hmm. in this space.
Okay.
She had the biggest booth out that motherfucker. And
oh, okay.
She's a CPA, so, you know. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, my nigga. I know she's a figure in this space, and she was doing it big. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. You know Google. Yeah. Sure you can find some more.
Yeah, shout out to Lindsay Smith, the agent, who had her booth out there with her books. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Of course, Wall Street Trapper was there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know, he's a major figure in the infopreneur space.
Uh-huh.
He had him a meet and greet. I don't know how much it cost, but he had him a meet and greet.
Okay.
There's a lot going on, man. And I was like, okay, they out here getting it.
They're going forward. InvestFest. That's the Earn Your Leisure cats that created
right? Assets over liabilities, yeah. Earn Your Leisure, InvestFest.
Okay. Dope. That's what's mm-hmm. up, man. That's good to see, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was
Did
dope.
You learn anything being around there? Did you pick up any game or was the, you know?
I wasn't in the speaking parts. We was doing interviews in the media room and stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Any good interviews? Anybody drop a gem or anybody was really interested?
I wasn't doing an interview, so I wasn't that close to it. But yes, we had we interviewed Wall Street Trapper. We interviewed a whole bunch of guys. Derek Ferguson, who's on, you know, who's Puff lawyer from back in the day. Nigga, T-Pain performed the first night. You know what I'm saying? On some, mm-hmm. you know, it was kind of like the little set was kind of like a little in the round outside type of deal, but it wasn't like an mm-hmm. official round stage. It was just like people was gathered round. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Like a little campfire.
Yeah. It was almost like that. And then, you know, T-Pain got all them hits, right?
Right. So, and he got a good stage show.
And, you know, when you know it, you know it. You know, so, mm-hmm. you know, T-Pain ain't never been ashamed to perform before he was even famous. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he came out, man, and he performed some song I ain't never heard, like a new joint. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
one of them exploratory records. And and you mm-hmm. like, okay, now, T-Pain, we don't expect this from you, brother. You know what I'm saying? It was lukewarm, but yeah. T-Pain know what he doing. He like, okay, right. I'm going to get this off because I already know what I could do. You know what I'm saying? So he got that off, man. And then from there, the energy only went up. And went up again. Next song, it go up again. As soon as you think you can't go up no higher, he'll drop. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? All I do is win. Or, you know what I'm saying? The booty go up, down. You know, nigga got hits, man.
Sneaky hits.
Yeah.
It's a lot of them shits. You'd be surprised. Damn. Oh, shit. Yeah, you did do that.
Yeah.
You was on the hook for that. Yeah.
He ran through a medley of them shits for about 15 uh-huh. minutes and then stepped off. And you couldn't be mad. Wow. You couldn't even. Sometimes a nigga would run through his medley and you'd be like feeling shortchanged. Like, nigga. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? That nigga ran through his shit. You like, God damn, that nigga. That's only a handful of his hits.
gave you an index fund at the Index Fest.
Right. Uh-huh. So, because I know he was on Yard Fest. That nigga did 36 songs, and all of them shits was hits.
He did 36 songs?
He did 36 songs, dog.
Damn.
That nigga That's did crazy. A whole. I mean, abbreviated, of course, but he ran through 36 songs.
That's a lot of fucking songs. That was a long time ago, too. He probably had made at least 30 cents.
But that was when he had, that nigga probably had 30-something records in the charts at the same time at that time. Like, he was tied with the Beatles or some shit for how many records he had in the fucking charts at one time. Mm.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, he was on fire when he was on fire. Hope he has some publishing, because that nigga will never be broke.
Well, I heard him say some shit recently. He said he making more money off of streaming, Twitch, than he's made off money, which kind of troubles me, because I'm thinking maybe that publishing ain't where it should be. Off of streaming, like playing video games on Twitch, he making more money doing that than he is on music.
Well, I mean, shit. I mean, probably current money, yeah. But that mailbox money.
I hope. Yeah, I hope. Well, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, that's a hell of a haul. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Especially going up against your catalog. But if we talk about current money, then that's one thing. But if we, you know,
yeah, he probably talking about that. I know he just talking about that right now money. Shit, what we getting today? Okay. You know what I'm saying? When you call your manager money, what you working on?
That
dog?
Daily bread.
Yeah, pain. It's kind of slow. I mean, you know, like, well, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it. Where's my PS5? Let's get to it.
Oh, shit, man.
Hey, guys. hit it with the YouTube voice on the ass. Hey, guys.
Remember to like, comment, and subscribe.
Shit.
Oh, shit, man.
Hey. I'm about to hit the hey, guys on you motherfuckers.
Get on your hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
I'm about to hit the hey, guys, nigga. He's threatening his content, his vlog. Nigga, I'm just about to tell y'all niggas, I'm about to hit the hey, guys on you niggas. I'm about to hit the hey, guys. Oh, shit. That's funny as hell.
Hey, when I hit y'all with it, don't act like I ain't tell you.
That's how I warmed you up, nigga. Don't act funny about it. Oh, shit. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, shit. Speaking of, it's not even, hey, guys. It's almost damn near in the same vein as Five Guys. I mean, if I see another influencer or rapper taking a fucking bite out of a Trill burger, man, I'm not gonna lie, nigga. This nigga Bun B got one of the illest grassroots campaign to promote these burgers. I'm like, yo, what is going on? Because I want a fucking burger now. I want to try this shit because everybody's like,
don't be mad because the marketing is hitting you in your soul.
No, nigga, the marketing is effective as fuck, but I'm just saying it ain't. It's not in my community. It's like when you used to. It's like, nigga, you know what's so funny, man? I think maybe now, maybe it's in Queens or maybe in Long Island, but for years, not that this is the equivalent, but it's in the same realm. Sonic would have all of these little commercials about what's going on at Sonic Burgers and all the little tater tots and whatever new bullshit that they selling or whatever. And there's no Sonic nowhere in New York City. I'm like, yo, who the fuck are they advertising to? And why is there so many advertisements? Mm-hmm. So I know that, you know, this Trill Burger situation is obviously, it's outside of Texas. I think somewhere outside of like Houston. Outside of Atlanta, and then it's been pop-ups at, like, you know, these festivals and everything, getting them grills out there and, you know, getting them people to taste them. But I mean, it's like the new I Want My MTV, but for Trill Burgers. And it's just it's all the rappers, all of the, you know what I'm saying, just taking the bite, you know, the little Good Morning America bite, the little, this is amazing, you know, you wonder how much of that shit is for the love, or how much of that shit, you know, like, damn, nigga, how good could a burger be? But that's the question.
Well, that's the question. You had an ongoing Best Burger in New York thing, didn't you?
I still got a good Best Burger in New York. Shout out to Best Burger in New York. It's a good burger spot.
That's what they call it. Best burger in New York.
That's the name of the spot. Best burger. Them niggas was like, fuck it, we about to fuck with this whole SEO situation. Y'all niggas looking for the best burger? We the best burger. Well, and they good.
Apparently, not too long ago, the Trill Burger was named on some prestigious list of best burgers
best
in America.
In America or something like that. I think Good Morning America.
I see it. I'm sure that ran it up, you know.
Yeah. Now I'm ready. I want to see what's what. I got to see about it.
Yeah, Good Morning America.
Nice little smash burger. Yeah, I'm happy for Bun. You know, Bun, one of them cats. He just seemed mad, upstanding, and just a good guy. You know what I mean? So I can't even be mad. No, he does. See, he a rapper, but he also has like good pastor energy. You know what I'm saying? Like good reverend. You know what I mean? Like one of them reverends at a moderate church, not a full on mega church, so you can still trust him. He know everybody in the congregation name, know their kids, shake hands and shit. You know what I'm saying? Drive a modest whip, not a bullshit whip, but you know it ain't a Wraith. But you know he got some money, got a nice house. You know what I mean? Like one is that kind of guy.
He ain't got a Rafe. He got a Benz 600 something.
You know he got a nice Benz. He got a late model Benz. One
big
of them.
Body.
Okay. Damn. Yeah. Big body Benz. Yeah, it ain't no little coupe.
Yeah,
it's definitely
Benz
for the whole family. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you happy to see Bun win.
Right.
Because, you know, Bun ain't a bad guy, but I'm just like, I have to see about this shit. I mean, I don't see about literally 75 different motherfuckers bite into this burger. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a who's who. It's like a yearbook. You know what I'm saying? Just a lot of burger biting out here. Pause if need be. I don't think so, but you know.
I mean, you made it worse by saying that. Like, what? What could that have meant? Why is he saying pause?
Huh. Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing good comes to mind, so let's keep it moving.
Yeah,
man. Let's not pause. Let's pass. Let's, you know what I'm saying? Proceed.
right. Oh, shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
So often I had a thought about getting a damn smart car.
You said
I
what?
I ain't never going to do it. I said every so often when I'm looking for parking for a long time, I see a motherfucker pull up in a smart car and get into a little smug-ass parking spot, I'll be thinking about it. Like, I'm starting to see young motherfuckers in smart cars. Before, it was just like, you know, a lot of, like, practical white folks. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that type of energy. But now I'm starting to see, like, the community fucking around with the smart car. Like, oh shit, what's going on? Is there some seating going on? Like, I'm starting to see shit that I'm like, that don't even fit the smart car profile. Smart car is out here marketing. They done tapped in.
When you spin the block 15 times and you see the little smart car just whip in and park, you be like, wait a minute.
That's the commercial there. Just the nigga spinning the blocks, like, don't be stupid, be smart, and pull it to a little ass parking spot. Bing, bing, bing. I just don't know if I could do it. It just, one, I think about car accidents. I don't think you'll survive that shit. You know what I'm saying? And then I also think about, you know, I always, not that I ever want real smoke, but you know, sometimes in traffic, niggas do some dumb shit. You definitely still want to have, you want to be able to pull up. You know what I mean?
Pull up
on a motherfucker and give him the look. Like, nigga, come on.
Nigga ain't respecting your grill in a smart car.
No, not at all.
Like, nigga, I'll get out this car and push your car over. Push it down the embankment, nigga. What you talking about? Fuck out of here.
Nigga, kick over your little big wheel. You know what I'm saying? Slap your shit with a fucking slide.
Hey, man.
Break your windshield.
It all come home shit when you hit the block and y'all both looking for a spot and you boop, boop.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do. Look at that shit. Look at that shit, nigga. Come on now. Stop playing with me.
One thing I haven't seen is, you know, rude smart car drivers. I haven't seen that. You know what I'm saying? Now, all them other little cars, them the rudest people on the streets, man. Honda Civics, little Kia, whatever's. Them little small car drivers, man. They drive real fast and aggressive. They got somewhere to go. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? They all in the way. They ain't trying to let you merge. Why are you so mad?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's mad aggressive.
Like you don't see no nigga in no big old Benz driving wild and reckless, like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Rude in the butt.
Yeah.
Them motherfuckers more apt to, all right, go ahead, man. Shit. Go ahead, man.
Do your thing.
Do your thing, nigga, because you don't hit me, nigga. Shit.
Yeah. Because you got that little smart car, too. Like, well, I think maybe you might be uncomfortable in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't look the most comfortable. So it might be a little bit of that. It might be a bit of a complex. You know what I'm saying? It's a few different things. You know, they might feel disrespected out there.
Smart car, I ain't seen no rude smart car.
Oh, you said the smart. Oh, the so smaller, you're talking about these just little 626s.
You know what I'm saying? It's like
Civics.
Like, it's like when you go to rent a car and you get the economy, right? That class of cars, niggas be wild on the streets. You know what I'm saying? They be wild, especially in the A. Them niggas be driving 100 miles per hour, trying to let you know, nigga, don't get it twisted, nigga.
Yeah, I be moving. Now, let me ask you this. I got a question. Are you one of these people? This is an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you one of these people, so like you pulling up and you know that the exit you want to get on is probably about half a mile up the way,
mm-hmm.
and it's about a good half a mile of bumper to bumper traffic,
mm-hmm.
and then there's another lane that, you know, goes past and beyond that exit, but you know that's also that, mm-hmm. you know, can I get in lane?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? You want these people out of patient, and you do the half a mile of traffic, or do you hit that, yo, can I get in lane? And hey, if you man, do,
dependent.
Okay, what's it dependent on?
Dependent. You know what I'm saying? If I got time and I'm already in that lane, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times you just get caught in the lane. Like, oh, Lord, I'm here. Fuck. It ain't going to make no sense to jump out and pull up over there, so let me just ride it out. But sometimes you know that backup exists. You know that exit. You know that shit finna be crazy.
Right.
And
playing for it.
Yeah, you playing, and you just hit it like, fuck it, nigga. Somebody going to slip. You know what I'm saying?
Get your running back on. Yeah, hit the fucking hole.
Somebody gonna slip.
That's the best shit. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times when you in that line and you don't know where you at, you just in the line and you see them people that know, you're like, them niggas know.
Yeah.
You're like, the next time I come around here, I know. You know what I'm saying? You get me once. But
Right. You see the motherfuckers 20 minutes ahead of you.
Yeah, like, I mean, so like, what they gonna do, man? You know, you can hit me and we both be at the shop, you know what I'm saying? Ruin both our days. Or you can let me in, it's all good, you know what I'm saying? Mind your business and shit. Everybody get on to where they going. You're already at the front of the line, nigga. I ain't hurting you.
You already next, my nigga. Come on. Stop playing. You next.
Hey, but
shit.
In that same vein,
motherfuckers
had pissed me off, man. Not pissed me off. I shrugged it off, but I seen what it was. So this is a little coffee spot, right? It's in Chastain. So it's like Buckhead, but like more into the where the houses at and the park at. And it's this little cafe, right? And, you know, it's all the people from the community cafe. All the white people live around there with their dogs and, you know, Saturday morning situation. You know, and it'd be a line, you know what I mean? And I'm in the line. I'm standing in the line. I know the line moved pretty quick. I ain't tripping. And then when I get in, there's a black couple. And you rarely see other black people, you know what I'm saying? Nigga kind of look like a in-shape cool Mo D. But you know what I'm saying? That's an aside. I was like, that nigga like Kumo D, but he too.
Kumo D listened to this shit, so my nigga, I thought I was in shape.
I googled to see what state he was in at the time. So you know what I'm saying?
Okay. To make that reference more exact. Okay,
right. So I had to check because I'm like, that nigga look like Mo D. You know what I'm saying? Shit, I got a whole lot of Mo D references. I fuck with Mo D. Any old way, Mo D and his old lady. They chilling. Mm-hmm. They got a table inside because most of the tables outside, it may be like three tables inside. So they would have
won. Hold on. Real quick. Before we go, real quick, just on the Kumo DJ. Now, is it because he got on a Kango and some dark shades, or is it just...
No. He had on a flat bill hat and some shades. It's just his complexion and the shape of his face look like Mo D.
Okay, dark
skin. Yeah, like,
okay,
like a Mo D-esque ass nigga. Like he looked like a New York, you know, like a New York nigga that grew up in the 80s type nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Had on ones
that wasn't tied up, you know what I mean? That type nigga. He definitely was from New York. You know what I'm saying?
Hilarious.
He definitely was from New York, right?
So he was in there.
He was in there with his old lady. They chilling. They got a seat inside in the air conditioning. Like I said, it's only like three seats in there, three tables. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Along the little line run. So they got a seat. So, you know, cool. They chilling. We in line. We got to step back outside to the heat. So I'm like, damn, I had never seen a black couple in there. So I was like, yeah, okay, they came up there in here representing front of area, everybody, you know what I'm saying? Got the good seat. So when I get to the front of the line, it's one dude in front of me. So it's me and the white guy in front of me. And the white guy about to order. Mo D whispers something to his old lady. His old lady. And then he said it to the white guy. He was like, hey, she's going to come ask you something, but it's for me. And I'm like, what kind of scammer shit these niggas on? You know what I'm saying?
Wait, I thought Mo D and them were sitting down.
They were sitting down. But they wanted to get something extra. See, this I didn't know what it was at first. But when she got up, she came and whispered to him, basically saying, I don't want to get beat up. You know, so I just want to, you know what I'm saying, if you could, you know what I'm saying? So he let her make an order. But I'm thinking to myself, why they ain't ask the nigga? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They looked right at me. They ain't even speak. Then they went to him. Like, it would have been all good. Why they felt like they was going to get beat up? You know what I'm saying? I was like, these motherfuckers. Now they done skipped me. And, you know what I'm saying? Disregarded my blackness and my affinity to my fellow brother who looked like Mo D.
Did not even see you. Yeah, I'm like, damn.
Not that it was nothing. I just wonder what the decision making process was. Should we ask the one right now? You ask the brother, you know. So
right, but damn, some kind that of way. Says a whole lot about where they at with it.
Exactly,
and maybe even your demeanor. Maybe, you know, they sized you up too. They seen you. You might have been like a Tim Dog ass nigga. Who knows who you was? Oh, gunplay ass. Who the fuck was this nigga? It was like, nah, that nigga, he don't look like he fuck with niggas like that. Hell nah, this nigga, he ain't a wrong. He not that nigga. He don't look like he that cordial. He was fuck with the white guy, play it safe. This nigga here. Yeah. Ain't that a bitch though? That's fucked up. Oh shit.
That nigga sized me up.
Y'all both was sizing each other up, referencing other blacks. Like, oh yo, Kumo Diaz nigga. I already know this type of nigga. That's funny. It's a damn shame. Especially in that context. Where it's like y'all the only blacks. It's like, well, can we trust each other, or are we just at odds? And that's how I be. Ain't that some shit, man?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, man.
So I thought that was funny.
Did you speak to the man? You give him a head nod?
After they chose
their side?
Yeah, I just went on ahead and let them be. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Went on ahead and let them be.
Oh, shit, man. Damn. Oh, fuck, man. What else is going on, babe? You reading anything, man?
Reading?
Go ahead, what you about to say?
Am I reading anything? Yeah. I'm just reading people right now.
Fair Dog, I almost spit out my water, man. I'm going to have to use that shit from now on. I'm just reading people. That shit is hilarious. Oh, shit. Oh, it was an open book. I just read the Kumo D memoir. Oh, shit, nigga. Oh, that's funny as hell, nigga. Fuck, that's hilarious, man. Oh, I was reading shit. People. Yeah, man. I've been starting a lot of books. I ain't been finishing many of them. I ain't gonna lie to you. I started quite a few. Mm-hmm. Because I got, you know, I've been downloading a bunch of books to, like, you know, to my iPad. And the cool thing, you know, now I'm hoarding on the iPad with books. Mm-hmm. The cool thing is you can have a bunch of books and shit like that. But I do think, now I'm just thinking about this shit on a psychological level. You know, it's one thing to have a whole bunch of books. It's almost back to some old watch later type shit, right? Mm-hmm. Because digital books versus physical books, I think when you got that physical book, you could see the headway you're making. Mm-hmm. You get your little bookmark in. You could be invested in, oh, shit, I'm halfway through. I'm three quarters through. I might as well finish this shit. Mm-hmm. Whereas on a iPad, you don't really know how much you got left until you crack that shit open and tells you how many pages. And then, God forbid, you flip that shit horizontal, the page is damn near double. You know what I'm saying? So you don't really know where the fuck you at. So it's probably, for me, it's been less incentive to double back. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. But, you know, we could have just got off this pod 5 minutes ago.
You said what?
What's going on, man? You had a brain fart.
That was a remnant topic. That was just one of them last topics I had. Like, I got a few remnant ass topics, but fuck it. Let me, you know,
I thought you were about to go somewhere, man. Had I known,
that was my take. That was my whole take on that.
You ever read books before?
That's how I sounded.
I find that reading books give you more incentive to finish. Because you already invest 200 pages. You want to finish. The iPad. Yeah. You could give a take. Don't let it be an audio book, nigga.
Yeah, nah. The audio book is...
You just cut that bitch off and switch to the next one.
Because, you know, nigga, the audio book is off the chain. Like, you don't know what's going on. You don't even know what chapter you're in. You just know how many hours you got left. You don't know where, because you can't figure it out. It's just, nigga, you got 4 hours left. I don't know where we at.
Audio book could throw you off, too, if they had a wrong goddamn narrator.
Oh, man.
He was out.
Worse. Man, this nigga here don't even...
Is this your interpretation of a black man reading?
Yeah. The tone of this shit. Man, I heard I forget what it was. It was like a commercial, like a little radio commercial. Or maybe it was a narrated internet commercial, but it was about black men to black men, mm-hmm. but it was read by somebody who was not black at all.
Right.
This guy was a white guy. He was like, hey, brothers. Right. I was like, yo, what the fuck? What is going on? Y'all niggas trying to be funny with this shit? Because this shit is clear. Who's doing the casting? This nigga here, this is ridiculous. Shit, I felt like how the Latinos is feeling right now about James Franco playing Fidel Castro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a little bit of uproar. You know what I mean? I seen John Leguizamo got on the shit and some other cats. They starting to, like, speak to that shit. Like, come on, yo. This nigga is Fidel Castro. We can't get a Latino to play Fidel Castro? Like, this is, you know what I mean? That's like a white guy playing Malcolm X.
Right.
You know. They can't get a Castro. You gonna get fucking, what's my man's name again? What's the nigga name we just said his name was?
Who?
I forget. James Franco. Yeah, they got old white James Franco and shit. Fidel Castro.
You know how they be. You know what I'm saying? You know how they be, man. Mm-hmm.
That's like some old school shit. I felt like we at that point now where that shit is just like, that's almost egregious. You know what I mean? That's some 1970s, 1960s type shit. It's mad Latinos out here that could do that. And it's like, you know what I mean?
I don't think that'd be the case. You know what I'm talking about? I think, you know, you have a producer.
About sale.
Nah, you have a producer.
About selling the film? Oh, okay,
go You ahead. Have a producer who's producing the film. He knows, you know what I'm saying, actors who he's worked with or, you know what I'm saying, that are very he's very comfortable working with, you know?
Right.
Or the casting agents that he's very comfortable working with. They know what they're doing. And he's like, you know, all right, let's cast it. Okay, that's who we getting. Okay, cool. Yeah, Franco's great. I love him. You know what I mean? Boom, 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 king, bing. And that's what it is. They don't be thinking about all that. We be looking at that shit. They don't care about that shit. They've been doing that shit since the whole Hollywood. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. But if
we look at that shit and be like, well, damn. You know what I'm saying? But then, you know, they might have tried a bunch of Latino people. And this guy killed it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's chemistry.
That's like Annette Bening playing Anita Baker in the Anita Baker story. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a black situation.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, come
but
on.
But I guess they feel fuck? Like, they may feel like, well, shit, we in America, we ain't in Cuba, we have an American play them. Fuck it.
That's a good point.
Shit.
Good point. I definitely had to look up his ethnicity.
Al Pacino,
sure.
damn show wasn't Cuban playing Tony Montana.
Nah, he did. He didn't. But everybody I know that speaks Spanish be like, that accent was trash. I loved it, but again, I'm not in the conversation. Like, you know. You know what I'm saying? I loved it.
I'm not advocating for the, you know what I'm saying, whitewashing of cultural phenomena. Mm-hmm. I was, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I wasn't on board for the casting of Harriet Tubman. And she was a black woman. You know what I'm saying?
Or Nina Simone.
Well, you know, that was trash. I mean, that was trash. That
you
was
can't,
trash.
Can't fight that one.
You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Yeah,
but I felt like on Harriet Tubman in the trailer, you know what I'm saying? She had this scene and she looked scared and her eyes looked spooked and bug eyed.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? I just felt like that actress, I can't think of her name right now.
Cynthia Erivo.
Right. She had friendly eyes. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey. You know what I'm saying? And when you know black people, you know, there are very specific kinds of black people.
That's the type of shit that gets you canceled.
And an old.
You're a white guy, say some shit like
listen,
that.
Listen, man, I'm black, man. I am quintessentially black. I'm just being black. I am shit, nigga.
Right.
I had to tell somebody. It was a very long time before I really encountered the white space. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I was grown.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I grew up in Miami. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Between black ass Carroll City and black ass Brown Sub and all points in between. You know what I'm saying? I went to FAMU.
Right. I was black all the way through.
I had
a black
experience. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
When you know black people, it's like, come on, man. Somebody that did the things that Harriet Tubman did.
Right.
She ain't had no fucking friendly eyes, man. She was as serious as fuck, man. Look at her pictures. She's serious than a motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's too much to have to be doing. You know what I'm saying? And negotiating to be friendly eyed. You know what I'm saying? And I understand because I got friendly eyes, man. And it's certain things you can't pull off with friendly eyes. You just have to be underestimated. You know what I'm saying? That's the role you had to play, nigga. You can't come on here like, nigga, I'm the meanest, roughest, toughest motherfucker with friendly ass
Get
eyes.
Get on the floor. They like, come on, nigga.
Come on,
you don't believe that
nigga.
Shit.
You friendly
you gotta
ass.
You got to shoot the nigga. You got to shoot somebody.
Yeah, you got to
kill somebody.
You got to have friendly eye rage, nigga, in order to pull it off.
Pistol whip a nigga.
The casting was wrong because she just didn't have the face for the role is how I took it. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Because I felt like it took a very serious face to pull it off. You know what I'm saying?
Who would you have casted?
I don't know. Like, casting is hard, man. I don't know.
I didn't even
try to contemplate who could it have been. I just knew that wasn't it.
Yeah. Casting hard, especially when you only know the names of like seven actors. Even black actors. There's a lot of black actors who that's my mans. You know what I mean? Like, yo, get my mans. Oh, I see him. That's such and such from such and such. And nigga, I'll be knowing a lot of these motherfuckers' names, man. And I'll be watching the show with them in there four seasons, and I see him in another movie, I'm like, oh, that's my man from, where I know this nigga from. It'd be fucking, it'd be one of the niggas from Power. But, like, you know what I mean? Not one of the main characters. I'd be like, oh, that's my, that's the uncle. That's mm-hmm. the uncle, motherfucker. Anyway, something about that, though. I had a thing about, I was, thought about that shit. Talking about casting. Said old friendly eyes. It's gone. Shit's gone, nigga. I can't remember that shit next time. that's funny, though, man. I never saw that Harriet movie, though. I never saw it. Not because of Cynthia's friendly eyes. I just didn't feel like watching that type of shit at that point. Sometimes, though, I still got Hotel Rwanda on DVD in the plastic.
Yeah, all that shit is in your wait to watch list.
Oh, yeah, it's all of that shit. All that trauma shit, that shit could wait even longer, dog. That shit ain't happening. That trauma don't age well. I mean, like, you know, you got to, I'd be like, nah, I'm definitely not fucking with
you. I ain't even going to fool myself.
I feel too good.
I wasn't going to watch, what's the Ava DuVernay joint with the Central Park? I wasn't going to watch that.
That was good.
I ain't need to watch that, 13.
When They See Us.
Yeah. I ain't need to say, I ain't shit. I was good. I know the story.
Yeah. I know the story. I read people. I dig it. I seen it.
See, if we gave up 5 minutes ago, we wouldn't have had this joy.
Right. There you go. That's what's up.
But right about now, might as well transform and roll out, nigga.
Transform and roll out. Well, shit, there it is, man. It's been a great one. Thanks for listening. Until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out. Word.
Conversation.